All right, if you have your Bible this morning, if you take it to 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and verse 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, this is a passage of Scripture that I have for a long time said one of these days I'm going to preach on it, and today is that day. So it's a kind of an unusual passage, but I want to walk you through it, and let's look at it together. I call this a costly bargain, and I frowned a little bit on that word bargain, but that's what I titled it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and down to verse 20. If you would stand, we will read the Word of God together. For you were bought with a price, listen to this, for you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Father, you bought us. You paid the price. With Jesus, your Son, let us realize as never before what you've done for us and how to apply it. God, there's some here today who are just brokenhearted over certain things. It may be sin or whatever. God, put us back together and let us glorify you. For we ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. The story is told of a 70-something-year-old lady who went to the doctor, and she went, and some of you may, I may have told this to some of you, but she went to the doctor, and she was going to a new doctor. He was a new doctor in the practice there. She'd never seen him. She was a little nervous about it, and she went in there, and she was in there just a few minutes, and she come running out, and she said, "He says I'm going to have a baby. He says I'm going to have a baby. He says I'm going to have a baby." She just all tore up, and the older doctor went to her and said, "Why in the world did you tell this lady she's going to have a baby?" He said, "Well, she's not going to have a baby, but neither does she have the hiccups anymore." So some of you are a little slow, aren't you? Things some way or sometimes are not what they seem. Sometimes we look at something and it's just not that way. It's a different way. And sometimes with this passage, we kind of look at it and it's not quite what we think it should be. I want to walk you right through it. Look what it says. It says, for you, and that's you personally, that's you and I, anybody that will follow Jesus, for you were bought. Let's stop right there. You were bought. Now think about it for just a second. You were bought. Now, going to buy something, I'm going to buy something that's valuable. If I'm going to buy something, I'm going to buy something that will endure. If I'm going to buy something, I want to make sure that it's lasting, that it has a purpose. And Jesus bought us, and it makes us valuable, and it causes us to have a purpose, and we can endure. By the way, it says he paid a price. It was a high price. He paid the top dollar for us. He gave it all. He bought us. I don't know. We have a couple diseases around our house. I don't know if you have the diseases. One of them is tightwadism. You know what tightwadism? Let me explain to you what tightwadism. This is the scenario. I'm getting dressed, and Janet comes in, and she has this new top, and she's primping in front of the mirror, and she says, "I really like this top. It was $79.95, and I got it for $14.95. I really like it. I wished I'd got the red one and the blue one." And I said, "Well, go back and get the red one, blue one." "Well, I bought this last year at the end of the year." "Why didn't you get the red and blue one?" "Because I didn't want to spend the money." Jesus is no tightwad. Jesus paid top price. Jesus gave it all. Jesus gave himself. There's another disease we have at our house, and it's called tapebackism. It takes 5 pocketbooks for her to get the right one. We take them back one at a time. We just redid our guest bathroom, and we spent one whole evening taking stuff back. Now, what is the difference in one toilet tissue hole in older than the other one, Joel? You don't see the thing, you know. But she would buy one, and she would then go somewhere else and see one and buy it, and we spent all this time taking it back, and And so we take all of this stuff back. Jesus doesn't take us back. Jesus bought us. And he does not take us back. He does not give us up. He does not remove us at all. The Bible says he bought us. And let me give you what one writer says about this. He says, what does it mean to be bought at a price? He says, his blood is the only thing that has the capability to move you from death to life. For he, when he said he bought us with a price, it meant that he paid our debts in full and he had translated us from death to life once and for all and his pure with his pure sinless blood. And he's not coming to die again. He's already died. It's done. He died for us. We are bought, Jesus says. It was costly. He bought something valuable. The second thing, let's keep reading it. Listen to what it says. For we are bought at a price. I'm in the New King Version. The King James Version, I think it says, we're the price. We're bought at a price. What kind of price? First of all, it was a redemptive price. You see, for we were sinners, broken, going our own way. Satan had control of us. We did not know it. And Jesus does this thing called redemption. He redeems us. He puts a shield between us and the devil. We're no longer a slave to anything. We're actually free today. And he buys us back. He redeems us. He redeems us. The word atonement is where we get the word atonement from. It's an act which sometimes leads to freedom from the consequences. And our consequences is the penalty of sin. And he frees us from that. Now, that doesn't give us a reason to sin. He paid a ransom for us. I have a friend who had an 87 Silverado pickup when he was going to high school. Anybody, the 87 Silverado pickup is my favorite. It had the 350 transmission, power windows, power steering. It was a nice one. And when he was dating the lady that he actually ended up marrying, he took her on dates in this truck. It was a pretty truck. And later he sold it when he got married. And one day he got to thinking about that truck and found it. And went and found the guy that bought it from whoever he sold it to and bought it back. And he brought it back and he and his daddy restored it. They redid it. And you can sit down on the pavement by that truck and comb your hair in it today. He bought it back. And he redid it. And that's what Jesus does for us. He buys us back and he begins to remake us, redo us. And it's called transformation. And he begins this transformation process in us. It's a redemptive price. It's also a righteous price because he sacrificed himself. Jesus put his righteousness on us. Our righteousness comes from God. You can't take it away. It's there. You can't remove it. It's there. It means that we have the right relationship with God. Now, we can break the fellowship. We can sin and break the fellowship, but the relationship's always there. It's a righteous purchase. It's a righteous price. And then listen, I think it's a reasonable price. Why not think it's a reasonable price? Some people think it's unreasonable. I think it's reasonable because I couldn't pay it myself. I couldn't do anything to take care of my sins. I could not work my way out of my sins. It's reasonable because God saw me as a sinner. And since I can't forgive myself, I don't have the power to do that. It's reasonable that somebody else had to do that for me. And his name is Jesus. He paid the price. He paid the price. Now, that's pretty simple to understand if you read to right there. But then when you go further, it's always kind of thrown me a little bit. But look what it says at the rest of the verse. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So how do we do that? How do we glorify God in our body? Now, I've already said he's put his righteousness on us and he will not take that away. So how do we glorify God with our body? I tell you, writers are all over the place. Matter of fact, I read one this morning, gave 10 different ways, 10 different debates on this. Let me give you what I kind of concluded. And if you study this and conclude different, I'm all right if you're wrong. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm right, you can handle it however you want to. But I've kind of colluded by reading and looking at this and thinking about it. And I want to just give you an overall view of what I think he's saying to us. And listen real closely, because I think we understand the first part very good. But when we get this part, we kind of struggle. Let me confirm, according to this text, he owns you. He's bought you. Look at verse 19. Look what it says. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own. So what do we have to do? If we are going to honor, we're bought with a price, and we're going to honor God with our body, what do we have to do? We have to surrender. It's talking about a total faith, commitment, dependence upon God. And this is what I think we have to do. You see, we're going through this transformation process. We have to look more like Jesus every day. He talks about the temple. Now, any of y'all go in the temple? Anybody in here go in the temple? We don't go in the temple. Matter of fact, there's some kind of temple up behind the old Polo Girl. A lot of y'all know where the old Polo Girl is. How many remember where the old Polo Girl is? All right. The rest of you are lost and need help, you know. But if you've never eaten the Polo Girl, that's like manna, you know. But the old Polo Girl, up behind the old Polo Girl, is some kind of temple. And a buddy of mine told me about it, and we were with him one night, and you had to go down a big driveway and a hole to get to it. And I drove down in there to see what it was while Janet and the other lady and him was screaming, "Turn around, turn around!" It's a funny-looking thing. But most of us don't go to a temple. Now, temple for them, when they went in the temple, it represented God. The holy place, the holy of holies, it represented the presence of God. It was supposed to show God. It was supposed to look like God. We go in a church building. It's supposed to look like God. If you raise the screen, there's a cross. If you look right here, there's a cross. Matter of fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed this or not. Whoever patterned the windows, there's a cross. Every window. If you notice the stained glass, there's a cross. Some of it's faded. If you notice the pattern of the doors, it's built on a cross. Somebody built it on a cross. If you got in a helicopter and went above this church, it's laid out on a cross. Now, we've added that wing. It throws it a little bit, but it's laid out on a cross. It's to look like Jesus. So that when they went in a temple, it looked like God. When we go in the house of God, it should look like Jesus. So what are you saying? Since we have the Holy Spirit in us, we should look more and more and more and more like Jesus every day. Now, I've already said he put his righteousness on us. He's already done that. But I think we have some responsibility when it comes to this, is to begin to look more like Jesus every day. I'm going to give you a couple of scripture. Just let you look at these scripture here. Let's read a couple of scripture together. Throw them over our GL. All right, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to be tested and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's daily. Put the other one up there, Gio. 1 Peter 1:16. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." God is holy. So, see, we have in our mindset this. It's called regeneration or salvation. We have in our mindset that we're saved and that's it. But no, there is this transformation process through life until we get the glorification, which is heaven, that we need to look more like Jesus every day. And listen, we have to do and live and walk and love a certain way to look like Jesus every day. And if you look at the passage before this, it's talking about what they were doing that was not looking like Jesus. Matter of fact, it matters what we watch on TV. Now, this is stuck in my craw a little bit, so I might as well say it. We have a lot of Christians watching this series called Yellowstone. It is the most filthiest talking thing on TV I've ever seen. I watched one episode about 5 minutes, and they said the F word 15 times. If you watch that and you know Jesus, you're not looking like Jesus. And there's a lot of others. And I see people on Facebook, I can't wait to the next episode of Yellowstone. I'm just picking on Yellowstone. There's a lot of stuff. I'm just drawing an illustration that we can do things that we don't look like Jesus. And we're not being transformed. We're not being transformed. So how do we look like Jesus? I think we look in a mirror. When I look in the mirror, do I like what I see? Or I think sometimes God uses you as a mirror. That happened to me this week. God used somebody. She don't even know God used her. I didn't like what I saw. I saw somebody prideful. Janet was taking a mirror back. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? Janet was taking a mirror back. And it was pretty heavy, so I went with her. And we walked into the store that she bought it from. And I can be just as serious. I could almost be like I'm mad sometimes, and people really think I'm mad. And I didn't blink an eye. I laid this mirror on the counter. And a lady says, is there anything wrong with it? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, what? I said, I looked in it, and I did not like what I saw. She was taken back for a minute, huh? And the guy behind her was dying laughing. It took her a minute to call on I was kidding. Listen, sometimes I look in Scripture. Sometimes the Holy Spirit shows me a mirror. I do not like what I see. And I have to change that. Even though God has put His righteousness on me, even though I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, I have some responsibility to look like Jesus more and more every day. The Bible says He humbled Himself and was obedient even to the cross. And I have to look more and more like Him every day. And I have to look in that mirror. If I'm going to glorify God in my body, in your spirit, which is in you, if you know Jesus as Savior, then I have to look in that mirror and see that reflection every day. I have some responsibility. So, what keeps us from doing that? What keeps us from looking in that mirror? What keeps us from being transformed? What keeps us from, what causes us to be conformed to the world? There's a lot of things, but I think the main one, and maybe this is just with me and I'm preaching to me, I think the main one is pride. Pride. I don't want to give it up. It's real simple. I either can walk this way and walk away from God, or I can walk this way and walk towards God and walk like God and be like God and be like Jesus and live like Jesus and love like Jesus. But my pride causes me to have a conflict. And if I'm not careful, I'll be conformed to the world. Anybody know the name Michael Collins? But That's a question. This is a test. Who is Michael Collins? Anybody know? Come on now. Somebody knows. It's who? That's the drummer, Phil Collins. All right. Put this statement up. Anybody know where this statement comes from? There's one small step for man. Actually, he said a man, but they called it man. The great leap for mankind. Who said that? All right, Neil Armstrong. Ding, 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 ding. Who else walked on the moon with Neil Armstrong? Anybody remember? Who? Buzz Aldrin. Yeah, he changed his name. It was 19 minutes later before he came. He got out of the capsule. I don't know if he was primping or if he was seeing if Armstrong was going to fall in a crater or what, but 19 minutes before he actually stepped out after Armstrong did. All right, that's two guys. Was there just two on that ship called the Challenger? Michael Collins was the third guy. Nobody knows his name. Nobody knows who Michael Collins is. Michael Collins orbited the moon. They were on the moon for 23 hours. And Michael Collins was orbiting the moon that whole time in the Challenger. He did it five times in those 22 hours. On that loop, there was 48 minutes each loop. Listen to this. Each loop. On 48 minutes, it got completely dark, and he was not able to transmit to Houston or to astronauts at all. It was completely silent. He said the only solitude that he ever knew that was something like that was before when Adam was in the garden before they created the woman. He said it, not me, okay? Get that? Let's get this straight. He said it, not me. And he did that five times. In 48 minutes, he had no communication at all. Five times. He went around and went around the moon. I want to see what else I'm going to tell you about that. Listen to what he says. Michael Collins. This venture had been structured for three men. I consider my third to be as necessary as either of the other two. He said he was never in fear or loneliness, but aware, had anticipation, he was satisfied, and he was confident the whole time he was going around the moon. Folks, we can humble ourselves to the obedience of Jesus and grow and look like Jesus and still feel confident, aware, and competent. Being humble doesn't mean that we're meek. Being humble means that we give our pride up and give ourselves to the Lord that we might look like Him every day more and more in this transformation. It's not easy. Because the world gets all over me. The world jumps on me and I get prideful. And I can give you an illustration. As this week that I was very prideful on something. And God got on me. And we can be prideful and not look in the mirror and not allow others not to reflect Jesus on us. And not look like Jesus every day. Okay, so let's review. I did a little bit different today. Let's review this. Go ahead, Gio. We're bought. You're bought. Jesus gave His blood. You're bought with a price. It's a redemptive price. It's a righteous price. And it's a reasonable price. So what do? We are to glorify God in our body as a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was in an interim, and the youth minister walked in and had a hat on his head. And one of the matriarchs the church said, called his name and said, "You need to get that house, that hat off. You're in the house of God." And he looked back and called her name. He said, "I am the house of God." Now, in theology, he was right. In practicality, he was about to get smacked upside the head. Because we are the house of God. If we know Jesus, we carry the Spirit in us. And the Spirit should be revealing to us how to glorify, how to use our body. And we have a responsibility to look in the mirror. We have a responsibility to look like Jesus more and more every day. Now, I was going to end with this story that I found. This is about 3 or 4 pages, probably take about 15 minutes. But I'm going to end a different way. Maybe this won't take over 45, okay? I don't want y'all to get jumpy like you're ready to go home. So this weekend, as many of you know, there's 5 of us that went to seminary together, and we meet once a year. We've been doing it for 31 years in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. We meet with our wives. We rent a 5-bedroom cabin, 5-bathroom cabin, and all meet together. We go up on Thursdays, and we go to dinner together, come back Friday morning, have breakfast together, and then the ladies go shopping, and the guys see could tell the biggest lies, you know. So, and then we have dinner together, and then Saturday morning have breakfast together and come home. So this is Friday night. We're in this cabin. Janet and I are on the front. We're people of routine, all of us. We're always in a room towards the window on the ground floor where the porch is at, and we're the only room on that side. So there's some in the basement, but they're not where the porch is at, and some up, they're not. And it's about 2 or 2:15. I didn't look at a watch, but just my instincts told me it was about 2 or 2:15. I heard somebody walking on the porch. So I'm thinking, I didn't hear nobody go out the door, but I heard somebody walking on the porch. Pretty big steps. I never saw anybody. Our cars were parked out there. They could have been hid. I never saw anybody. I don't know who. I concluded it could have been a bear or a possum or a raccoon or something. It was a pretty big possum or raccoon if that's what it was. But I heard somebody walking. I never saw him or something. Never saw him. Next morning, about 6:30, after I'd showered, they had some trash, and there's a bin out there, and it's right on that porch where it's still. I went out to put that trash in the bin. It's before daylight, and when I did, the cabin above us, the security light come on because there was movement somewhere up there. And when it did, something scampered up the hill. Never saw it. Never saw what it was or who it was or whatever. Listen. Sometimes God speaks. He steps. Oh no, we don't see him. But the problem is we don't listen either. Now I was listening pretty good because I wanted to be aware. And sometimes we're not aware. And if we're going to be more like Jesus, if we're going to look more like Jesus, if we're going to glorify our body in the Spirit, then we're going to have to be aware, and we've got to look for God, and we've got to look for places that God works in our life. And whatever He wants us, I'll use the word change, or whatever He wants to transform in our life, we have to let Him transform. But if we are not looking, and we're walking around blind and not listening, we will not hear God unless He slaps us upside the head. I promise you, God is speaking to you. You may not see Him. You may not can reach out and touch Him. But you're not hearing because you're not listening. And God wants to transform us into who He wants us to be. And it's not easy because the world has all of this influence over us. And we want to be so much like the world. And we don't want to walk against the grain. But He's there if we will listen. Father, thank You that You always are speaking to our hearts. You're always trying to transform our minds. You're always trying to change who we are. You always want us to be like you, not like the world. Speak to us this morning, God. I need to hear. I need to hear. Speak to my heart, God. Allow me to look and not like what I see, because it's not like you. There's somebody here this morning, God, that doesn't know you as Savior. God, they're lost. They've never had a relationship with you. God, let them look in the mirror. Let them look at your word and your spirit and even their circumstances see you. God, drive us to our knees and allow us to lay ourselves and our heart up on the altar to become more like you every day. For we ask this in your name. Amen. You stand together. We'll sing together. I'm going to cut the mic off. If you want to come to me or if you want to just come pray, you're welcome to come. Invitation's open.